You're listening to Intentional Optimists, the podcast for unconventional leaders, where you'll find inspiration, learn to discover and develop your own strengths, and hear from inspiring women just like you who are making a difference in their community. Who knows, you just might find yourself stepping up as the next unconventional leader right where you are. I'm your host, Andrea Johnson, the original Intentional Optimist. I feel like I entered the women's empowerment movement a little late in the game. I like to get in on the ground floor. I just didn't seem to fit into any one group in the movement. I had to work out what I believe and why I believe it, do a whole lot of learning and catching up on the history in order to figure out first that I want to be in the empowerment movement, and second, where I can fit in. All this work resulted in the 6 tenets of intentional optimism, by the way, because it's important to just be yourself. And I recently had a conversation with a colleague who said it was nice to connect with another square peg in the round hole of American Christianity, which is kind of the story of my life on fitting in. Now today, I'm sharing with you a conversation I had with a young woman who has created her own space in the women's empowerment movement in her unique and practical way. She happens to be doing it in Tanzania and Kenya. Tenzi Chacha has created her own little empowerment cycle. Welcome to episode 13. Tenzi Chacha is a fashion designer and founder of Sewing Empowers Women, or Sew, a program based in East Africa. Now, I met Tenzi through my family. She attended college with my niece Jordan, who you'll hear referenced a few times in our conversation. And for someone so young, she has an intense sense of mission and purpose, which took her all the way to Africa, where she leveraged her gifts and talents in the area of fashion design and production, teaching women the practical skills of sewing clothing and accessories as a way for them to financially support themselves and their families. One of the reasons we're airing this episode now, in November of 2020, is because we're all starting to think about holiday shopping. And in her products on TenziDesign.com, you'll find unique and beautiful gifts for all the women in your life, as well as wonderful expressions of hope and empowerment with which to make your own fashion statement. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's meet Tenzi Chacha. Hi, Tenzi. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited.
How are you today?
I'm really good.
Excellent. I have been telling everybody about you, a little bit about your story. So tell me what you're up to. Give the audience a little bit of an update and a summary of kind of what you do and why it's really exciting.
Okay, so I started a women's empowerment project based in Tanzania. I'm teaching the local women there how to sew. They come in 5 days a week and I train them in women's apparel and accessories mostly. And then once they're finished their training, then they're able to go on and like be hired by the program. So once they're finished training, they can sell things. Like they're being paid per piece that they make and they're selling them online. And it's just a good way to help empower these women to give them a little bit, some more extra income. All of these women are women who weren't able to finish their like equivalent of a high school diploma. Some of them weren't even able to finish like the equivalent of their primary school education. So it's really hard for them to get a job. So this is like a really good outlet for them.
So tell me how you know how to teach them to sew.
Okay. I've been sewing
since I know this story.
Yeah. I've been sewing since I was 6 years old, actually. So that was 20 years ago. Yeah.
You're still a baby.
My mom, she used to teach home economics, and I don't know, I just really got into sewing at a young age. And then from like sixth grade is when I decided that I wanted to be a fashion designer. That's when I really got into that. And then, after high school, I actually spent a year in Tanzania, and that's where I decided like I wanted to do fashion design, but I also wanted to help people because I saw like how big of a need there was there. So then when I went to college, I accidentally signed up for my first fashion show.
I'm sure that was pure accident.
Yeah. So I was seeing all these flyers around the school, and it was saying, I thought it was just like, I thought the flyers were for the fashion show, so I wanted to go to attend it. But I didn't read the fine print that said it was like a launch party for the fashion show. So I dragged all my friends there to what I thought was a fashion show, and we sat right up front. Then it turned out just to be like the launch party. And all my friends were like, okay, you dragged us to this meeting and we couldn't leave because you made us sit up front. So you're going to sign up for this because we know you know how to sew and like you always dress cute or whatever. So I signed up.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I didn't know the story.
Oh, okay.
This is great.
I thought that's what you were referring to.
No, this is even better.
I'm pretty sure like I dragged Jordan to that meeting too. Like, and I like accidentally signed up as like a designer for this fashion show. I did all the work. We're making garments out of like reused materials. So I made a dress like using old neckties and an old like suit jacket and an old like shirt, like men's dress shirt. Mm-hmm. And then my second piece, I finished the first one really quick. So they're like, hey, you should go ahead and make a second piece. And I was like, I don't know if I have time, but I went ahead and did it. And I made this dress out of like, I used bottle caps. So I like flattened all these bottle caps and I sewed them onto the skirt of this dress. And like Jordan and some of my other friends are like helping me flatten all these bottle caps and like poke holes in them. And I was staying up late at night, like sewing in the bathroom of our dorm.
This sounds like a really wacky episode of Project Runway, right?
Yeah.
When they do one of those, I mean, we love Project Runway. And one of the funnest challenges is when they do
unconventional.
That unconventional challenge. So yeah. This explains then, I've been on your website and we'll talk about that in a little while, but I've been on your website and I was trying to figure out where the dress, you've got these dresses on your website as part of your portfolio,
yeah.
Which I think is awesome. So
yeah.
So how did that turn out for you?
Yeah. So the runway, the day of the show, like everything went really well. And then they were like calling up the winners. And when they were announcing the first place winner, they were like, this designer joined the show by accident. And I was like, I'm the only person in the world who accidentally signs up for a fashion show. But I was like trying to keep it together. Like, oh, like I don't want everyone.
And then wins.
That I know. Yeah. So I won first place in my first ever fashion show. It was like the first time I'd ever sewn anything completely by myself before. And the first time I'd sewn like a whole garment, really. So that was like a huge shock to me. Like I was crying. I was so happy.
That's amazing.
Like, yeah. I felt like that was like a big confirmation to me, like from God, like, you're good at this and like you can do it if you put in the work. So
this is like awesome. Something, it's a gift that he gave you, and you all of a sudden discovered that you could actually really use it to do something amazing, right?
Yeah.
So many fashion shows after that, did you continue to participate and win?
So that was the only time I actually made first, like out of the college ones. But I kept like, I've been in several other fashion shows since then, and like they've all gone really well. And like, I always placed in the other ones, but it was the first one that was like the big thing for me. I was like, wow, I can do this.
That's hysterical. I knew that you had won a fashion show in your freshman year of college. I had no idea it was an accidental sign up. I had no idea that it was the bottle caps and the ties. I love that story. Cause I think that just capitalizes the whole idea that we don't have to be what other people expect us to be, right? I mean, that's the whole premise here, is that we show up as ourselves, we use what God's given us, we develop the skills that we have, we figure out how we can help others and serve others to do them. And so, that's what you're doing, right? So tell me a little bit about how you went through college and you got your degree, and it's in what? Is it in fashion design?
So it's actually in business marketing, and like I wasn't even in the fashion program when I like accidentally signed up for this fashion show, but it was like through that I was like, okay, I'm going to add a fashion minor. So I at least got like some more training, and it really helped me like perfect my skills and make them more like professional than before. So that was really good.
So, you know, if we're going to talk girly design stuff, tell me, what do you consider your design style to be? And the designs that are sold on your website, is that your fashion design or is that specifically for the sew program and the entrepreneurship aspect?
Those are my designs. All the things on the website, they're basically all out of the African fabrics, the kitenges, which I really love. But like, I also do design so many other things, which I would like to start incorporating like into the brand as we go on, like start incorporating other materials and like other design aesthetics. But for now, like, I think the kitenges is a really good way because it's like fabrics that are like we buy locally that are like easy to come by, and people are like, the students, they're more used to working with those materials because they're so readily available.
Smart. So let's get a little bit of the background of, you've given us the overview of how you decided to do this and you have this program. So you spent a year at in Tanzania at a place called?
The City of Hope.
The City of Hope. Tell me a little bit about the City of Hope.
So the City of Hope was founded by my parents, I think in 2008. And it's a children's home. There's a hospital. We have a primary and a secondary school. There's a guest house. So there's a lot going on there. So I served there for a year after high school. And that's what like really inspired me to come back and to start this program because I wanted to do something for the women of the village.
So it really is kind of a village, or is it next to a village?
No, we're in a village. Like,
okay.
When I first moved there, there was no like grid electricity. People didn't have electricity. We were doing like solar or whatever at the City of Hope or using generators. But like since I've moved there in 2017 is when I moved there. And since then, like we've gotten to the grid consistent electricity, which is super awesome. So there's like progress that we're seeing there.
Well, I mean, it's always nice to see development because now I am not an economist and I am not an international economist. I did grow up overseas, but not in Africa. I grew up in Asia. As you know, Jordan's mom and I are sisters. And so we're missionary kids ourselves. So, but I know what it's like to be in a part of, now granted, this is way back in the 1970s, but I know what it's like to be in a part of the country where there's no telephones and you have electricity this many hours a day. And so as the country develops and as the people can provide for themselves and they get things like electricity, that probably then provides them with other good things like probably better water and better plumb, because electricity runs a lot of that, right?
Yeah. I mean, like the people in the village, like they don't have running water or anything. Like they're all going to the spring to get their water every day. But now a lot of them do have electricity since that was like brought in. A lot of them are able to pay for some electricity, which is good. And like most people have cell phones, like at least one person in their family has a cell phone. So that's good also.
Well, you know, it's 2020, right?
Yeah.
Some of that stuff permeates everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So the City of Hope, your parents founded that in 2008, and you graduated from college in
2015,
but you didn't move until 2017. So tell me, let's actually start talking about how you kind of felt the earliest pull to this unconventional new kind of leadership, because usually what I ask people is what's your earliest leadership memory and how that shaped your mindset about how you've become a leader today. What happened in those 2 years, or did it happen like over several years and it just kind of crystallized by the time 2017 hit and you decided, hey, I'm going to go do this thing. I'm going to go be an international educator of women and empowerment, you know, guru or something. So tell me kind of what happened in that interim period.
Okay. So I actually graduated like December of 2015. I was at home for a year, essentially, before I went to Africa. So I was actually like looking for other jobs. I was like applying everywhere and nothing like was really working out, or like if I did you know, if they did call me back, I was kind of like, I don't know if I really want to move there or whatever. And I was getting kind of like frustrated. I was like, I have my degree. Like, why can't I get a job? Because I wanted to get more experience in the fashion industry before I started up this program. So that's what I was like. I was trying to get a job somewhere in the fashion industry, which isn't very easy if you don't have like anything you can label as experience really on your resume. So I was really like struggling with that. And one day I was like, I give up. Like, I'm not going to apply anywhere else. Like, I'm just done. I'm tired of seeing all these like rejection letters or whatever. And like, very shortly after that, I was sewing in my room one day because I was doing a little bit of like freelance sewing work. And I just heard God like say, okay, like nothing's working out in the States. And like, you know, there's a position. My sister was at the City of Hope, like working there. And I knew she was leaving. So it was like, okay, you know, your sister's leaving. So there's going to be kind of like a hole there that she's leaving that you could go and fill, and you could go ahead and like start up your program. So I was like, okay, if I don't hear any, like if I don't get any positive responses back on my applications in the next month, then I'll go for it. And I told my mom like that day, and she already was like buying my ticket. She was like, okay, this is gonna work.
So moms are like that.
So that's how it like all started. That's how I actually got there. And it's been like, it's been really good. I think it was the right decision.
Sounds like it was a little orchestrated. I mean, God does that to us sometimes, right?
Oh, yeah.
There are ways in which, you know, even for those listeners who may not be Christians or not, may not have that kind of a worldview, it's like there are things that we all see as providential. It's like, this is how it's going to happen. But that's, you know, that's the way we see it. But you mentioned a couple of times, I'm going to nail you down on this. I was doing these things and I wanted to get experience before I started my program. And then, but maybe I should just start my program. So when did you decide you wanted to start the program?
It was when I spent the year after high school. That's when I really, that's when God kind of told me, like, put that desire in my heart that I wanted to start this program. I learned when I went that time, I learned how to sew on like the treadle machines, like the old fashioned, like, yeah.
Yep.
So that's when I learned how to sew on those. And I was like making some purses and I was selling them to like visitors who came to the City of Hope to make a little bit of money for like spending money in college. And oh, I read the book Kisses from Katie. I don't know if you've ever read that book before, but it's about this girl who moves to Uganda and like does all this awesome work there. And that kind of like inspired me in that time. I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do because I love fashion, but I was like, I want it to be more than just like the outward appearance. I want it to be something that's like also helping people.
So this is what I would describe as that you're a leader moment. Like you figured out, you realized this is what you wanted to do and you were just trying to figure out the steps. Is that what I hear?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so a lot of times we do that, don't we? I mean, we kind of think, I know I want to do this thing, but I got to figure out the steps. And so like in the entrepreneurial world, a lot of times we'll talk about people getting as many certifications as they can. I am one of those that is definitely guilty of that, but they need another degree or, well, I can't do that because I don't have an MBA or I, you know, you do have a business and marketing degree. Look at that. Mm-hmm. But you don't have a fashion degree. And I mean, you do have a fashion minor, right? I mean, but you didn't go to Parsons and you don't have like an MBA. But what you have is this drive and you have this desire. And this was what I would say, this is kind of like, is this what you would say maybe is the awakening of your passion to do this and to help these women and to kind of make a difference?
Yeah. I mean, that makes it all the more worth it. Like all the work that I've put in it. Like when I think about the end goal, when I think about like how far I've seen like my students come already, then that's what really makes it worth it. Then if I was like just doing it for the money, then it wouldn't be like, I don't know, it just wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can chase the money all we want, but if it doesn't feed our soul, what's the point?
Yeah.
Right? So for you, you actually get to go where... Were you raised there?
Or, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I was raised in Southern Virginia, but my father was born there.
Right.
So that's like why the City of Hope was started in that area, because that's where he was born and raised.
Okay. But your mom lives there now.
She's back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about the Sew School. Tell me, how long is the program? How many women do you have in it? Kind of what do they learn? And when they graduate, you said they can either work for you or they can go out on their own. Do you have like any statistics? I know you're like what, second or third cohort group going through now, or fourth, or give me a little bit of that information.
Okay. So we actually have two locations as of the beginning of this year. We started up a second location right across the border in Kenya. So we have the Tanzania side and the Kenya side. So the women, like when they start off, they start learning on like the treadle machines, the old ones that don't use electricity. Mm-hmm. And they start learning more of like the traditional clothing. So that way, like, even if they decide they don't want to go to the next level of like learning the electric machines and the more American designs, they at least have something that they can like take home with them, and they can be sewing things at home and be making some money that way, like repairing their kids' uniforms or like sewing something for someone else in the village. Cause that's a pretty common thing there. Is that like people get custom made clothes in like the traditional style, like a blouse and a skirt or like a dress or whatever out of the traditional fabric. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people wear there. So there's like a lot of market for that that they can do like just on their own. And then like if they want to continue with me, and like then they can learn the electric machines, and I have like an industrial serger. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know what that is, but like an overlock machine.
I know what it is, but why don't you give it like, why don't you tell us when I buy something at the store, what should I look at to see what a serger does?
Kind of like the inside of your t-shirt should have it. It's like this loop, like looping knots or whatever that like finishes the inside of your clothes so they don't fray.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is pretty awesome. The machine is great.
Well, so, if anybody's done any sewing at home, one of the hardest things is making sure that your edges don't fray. And especially when you're working on cotton, because I too have been sewing since I was very young. And I think I made my first dress when I was in fifth grade. And I know, but I'm a zigzag on the edges, right? So it's like,
But it's not as good. Like,
it's not.
Yeah.
So having a serger, my mom had a serger, and I think it's gone to my sister because she's doing a lot more sewing now than I ever do. But but it's nice to hear. So you have an industrial serger, which then makes it much more professional, right?
Yeah, that makes the garments that we sell online like a lot nicer. They're all like finished on the insides. Once the women finish their training, they can either like stay on and be employed by like Tinsy Design is like the name of the brand. So they can be like sewing things, and then we pay them per piece and like sell them online and at like different events and stuff. So that's like a good income for them. Or if they don't want to work for Tinsy Design, like they don't have to, they can still just do like whatever other work that they find in the village. So either way, like they're coming out of it with a skill.
Excellent. So again, how many women have graduated? Do you know?
Five.
Okay. So you've had one major graduation.
Yeah.
Because there's pictures on your website.
Yeah. Well, I'm just like current people that are like working, like making all the things you see online. That's like five women.
Okay.
That are like making all the things you see online. So there are other women who have like gone through the program, and they're just like doing other work.
Okay.
Like in the village or whatever. And there are some women that are still going through training. So there's like 10 women at like the Tanzania base. And then there's like 13 women at the Kenya base.
Okay. 10. So you get 23 in the program. 10 in Tanzania and 13 in Kenya. And right now, only 5 of them actually work for Tenzi Design. Yes. And so you are a teacher to them. You are a mentor to them. How big is your role when it comes to how you teach and mentor and train and help them figure out? I mean, who figures out for them who's going to work for you and who's not? I mean, how does all that kind of go down? Is this is kind of an all-encompassing role for you, isn't it?
Yeah, like right now, I'm basically running the program like by myself. I've been working with training people so I can kind of transition out of that a little bit more, so I can spend more time on like the marketing and the design and like running the program as more of like a business. And I'm trying to like work on training up a teacher who can take on like more of that role, because it is very time consuming, but like I love it, and my students and I, like, we have so much fun. Like the ones who are like working for me now, they've been with me for a couple of years, so we know each other really well. And like my Swahili isn't fluent, and like, that's like that's the language that they all speak, like, because like the only way they would have learned English like a little bit if they had finished school, but none of these women have finished school, so they only know like Swahili, and Kuria is like the tribal language there. So like we kind of have our own language that we've created for class.
Yes.
So we have our like own special way of communicating.
Your Swahinglish.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I mean, growing up in Korea, we had Konglish, so I totally understand. Oh, yeah. So go back to, I know that on the website we can see this, and the website is for City of Hope or for the Sew Design. You can get to it all through Tenzi Design, right? But yes. City of Hope, and we'll put all of these in the show notes because I know people are definitely going to want to go see this stuff. It's gorgeous, and the story is so inspiring. And mm-hmm. to see how far the City of Hope has come since 2008, it's huge. Yeah, I mean,
definitely. It's amazing.
It's super amazing. So the reason these women haven't finished school is what? Why is that the case usually? Why is that common?
Yeah, so up until like recent years, there was no like free education in Tanzania. So all education had to be paid for. So a lot of the reasons why these women couldn't finish school would be like their family just didn't have enough money, or I mean, maybe some of them might have gotten pregnant and they weren't able to finish school, or even like, I know like some families, some women, like they can't afford like menstrual pads. Hmm. So sometimes like girls in high school, they have to miss school like during their time of the month because they
just the basic stuff.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well, we consider the basic stuff.
Yeah. And like, even now, like it's the educational system there is like very challenging, I feel like, compared to like the American system. It's just like, like.
Yeah, ours isn't challenging at all. Just in a totally different first world way.
Yeah. Like there, it's like primary school is like in Swahili. If you're going to a government school, it's all in Swahili. Then you get to secondary school, then all of a sudden it's like everything switches to English. Then they're all of a sudden like supposed to be taking their like exams and stuff in English. And it's almost like a zero tolerance. Even if you make it to like to what's the equivalent of 12th grade, if you like fail your final exam, then it's you're just done. Like you don't get your like degree.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's not an easy system for a woman to like, to navigate through, or any person, not just a woman.
Well, but it sounds like maybe the boys have a little bit more support from the families to navigate that kind of a system, whereas the girls may not.
Yeah. I mean, if a family had to choose like which child to put through school, I'm pretty sure they would choose the boy.
Sure. Okay, so you had this passion, this desire, this dream that you discovered after high school, and you nurtured it through college, and you finally went in 2017. And I'd like to know what got you moving and what is like the one big leadership principle? What is the thing that you live by every day that helps you constantly step into these new challenges? Because when I go to the website, I see things like what you just shared. Hey, we got electricity this year and electricity's inside this year. And the rest of us are like, wait, what? I mean, I'm upset because my Zoom meeting got cut off because my internet went out. You know, I mean, we forget a lot of times how privileged we are, even, you know, even the less privileged in this country have things that they don't have there. But tell me, what is it that kind of, is there something that kind of keeps you going, like a principle that you kind of live by?
I mean, I would say the biggest thing is that, like, I know that, like, God told me to go there. So when things are, like, really hard, then I'm just like, okay, like, God told me to be here. And, like, I can't argue that. Like, I know that. So, like, he's going to help me to get through it, whatever it is. Like, he put me here for a reason. So, like, I'm going to stick it out until, like, my work is done. So that's, like, the biggest thing that keeps me going.
So for you, it's your faith.
Yeah.
It's your faith. And so I love that. I'm going to stick it out till the work is done. When, pray tell, would that be?
Never.
I know. I mean, it sounds a little bit like you've got your work cut out for you for a good long while.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds to me like there's the opportunity for this to grow. So tell me a little bit about some of the vision that you have, because I didn't realize, and I didn't see this on the website. Maybe I just didn't find it because I'm not an actual journalist, but tell me, you've expanded into Kenya. So that was a surprise to me. You've got two spots that you're working with women on. What is your vision for how big this could actually be? And as you, maybe that's part of, and I'm asking probably too many questions, but why don't you give me that and then we'll see.
Okay. I mean, I would love to see it expand like into other countries, and like being able to reach even more women. Like right now I've kind of like met capacity of how many women I can teach, like just me solo, but that's why I'm like trying to find to work on like training up other people so we can train even more women, and like helping raising funds so we can buy even more machines, because the more women, the more machines we need, and just like marketing the products, because all that's going in, and like funding the program. But like the big, I would love to see it expand like into other African countries, even like South America, India. Like I would,
so you wouldn't being global. I mean,
I would not mind that. Like I love fashion and like different cultures and seeing how you can like mix like traditional with like modern. So I would love to like go to India and work with like Indian women and like use their beautiful fabrics to like make some really cool things and like help the women there. Like I want to do all of it.
Good. I think that's great. Dream big, girl. I mean, that's and here's the thing, when we're talking, if we're going to talk about this from a God perspective, I think he puts dreams in our hearts that are bigger than we can accomplish on our own. And And it's just, it gives me cold chills who is it? Jennifer Lopez. I get goosies, right? I love hearing these kinds of things. So it sounds like in a more practical, more near term, you're actually training people to teach, or at least training somebody up to teach. And then you said something about being able to do more marketing and design. And so tell me a little bit about that, like in the more near term. That was your big dream. Like for, so the next few steps are, how many people could this other person teach? And so how would that help you step back and be a little bit more involved in the design aspect and go with some new things that you're wanting to do?
Yeah, I mean, my goal would be to train up like Tanzanian women to take over like the teaching part on the Tanzania side, and then like Kenyan women to take up the program on the Kenyan side, and then that would like free me up to be able to do more of like the other stuff that's involved in the program, and just like managing it overall. It would make it a lot easier and like help me to be able to do it better if I have more time to like invest in it.
Sure. So tell me if you're going to be doing those kind of things. I think habits actually establish all of our actions, right? So if there was one habit or ritual that you have that you do like every day or once a week or whatever, what is it that helps you stay like on top of that vision, because it's big, and on top of those goals and dealing with Swahinglish and dealing with what? Okay, so in, sorry, this is me, ignorant white woman in America. I know that culturally the languages in Africa, I understand that the African nations are not divided on people groups. They're divided on boundary lines. And yeah, so that a lot of times the people groups have nothing to do. They like, so is Swahili the language that you work in both in Tanzania and Kenya?
Yeah. So Kenya and Tanzania, they both speak Swahili, and both of the women, like I'm pretty sure all the women are all like from the same tribe also. So they're mostly like Korean women. So they all speak like the same tribal language, which I don't know much of, but a little bit.
And I'm going to have you spell those for me later so I can put them in the show notes, because I don't know how to spell that stuff. But back to, so having, making sure that you have, you don't get overwhelmed and you have a healthy mindset and you're able to grow. What is your habit or behavior or ritual that really helps you stay present?
I would say like setting deadlines is really helpful for me. Like I always like having like a paper calendar or planner, like not just on my phone. I don't really like the one on my phone or my computer. Like I like writing it down, and that like helps me. So then when I'm done, I can like check it off and I feel good.
I have a big one that I do the same thing.
And yeah.
Sometimes it's the writing it out is helping me remember it as well.
And yes, definitely.
You're young and your brain is very malleable and it remembers things. As you get older, this is a really good practice to have, because you may not remember everything. So for you, a lot of it is just making sure that you have deadlines and setting goals for yourself. So you find yourself pretty goal-oriented.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like organizing my time and planning things out.
So before we get into kind of what you would recommend for other people to do, I definitely want to, I have to talk about your website, and I have to talk about the designs. I'm actually just going to click over there on my computer because it's just so beautiful. So we will link to this in the show notes. So give me an understanding of when somebody orders from the site, is it like made to order? And so it takes a few weeks to get it done. And you know, what is the timeline when somebody orders?
So all the things that are available on the website, they're already in America, like at the office there, like the City of Hope office in Southern Virginia.
Okay.
So when you order something, like it should get to you in a couple of days, because we just got to mail it. Yeah.
Awesome. And
anywhere in the U.S. it can be shipped.
Awesome. Because as I was telling you beforehand, I was looking at the dresses and I'm like, totally, there's a blue and white polka dot dress that is coming to my house. And I cannot wait. But just so that you guys listening can know what we're looking at here, she's got women's clothes that include different types of tops and dresses and palazzo pants, which I definitely need some of those, different types of skirts, headbands, clutches, bags, scarves. Oh, and
the bow ties for men.
And for men, there's bow ties.
One male product.
And we're ties. Yeah.
We're starting making like children's clothes. We've started making a few things for babies, and I'm like, I love it. It's so cute. Like,
oh yeah,
little clothes.
The thing I love about a lot of these fabrics is, now explain, tell me the word you said. What kind of fabrics are these? I wrote it down, but I have no idea if I spell it right.
Kitenge.
Kitenge.
Like, yeah, that's like the name of the fabric in Swahili. That's what we call it.
Cool. And so the kitenge fabric, a lot of it looks tie-dyed.
Oh, so some of, yeah, that's something else. Some of the fabrics we actually like hand-dyed ourselves. Yes. So that's something else that like we've been able to do with my program, that like all the women love dyeing things and like just seeing how they turn out. Like once you fold them and like stretch them out, like everyone always goes outside to like see how they turned out.
Sure.
Yeah. So some of them, like we actually hand dyed ourselves, and then some of them, they are like they're hand dyed, but we didn't hand dye them. It should be that like the products that we personally hand dyed, they should have like an HD.
As far as the, I actually see one of the HDs here.
Yep.
So when we order, these are products that have already been created, and are they like tied somehow to an individual that's made that, or do you pay them when they make it?
Yeah. So they're paid after they make the garment, regardless if I sell it or not. Like the women are always getting paid, but it's good if we can sell the products, because then we have more money to buy more fabrics, you know, to repair the machines when they break, to buy more machines, to teach more women. So yeah.
Well, and another thing that I notice here is that, are these models all your students?
Those are actually like some models that I found in Kenya.
Well, but they're from Kenya. They're from Africa. And here's the thing, y'all, these are not like American, like runway models. These are real people. So there's every shape and size, and it's lovely. It's absolutely beautiful. So, definitely go on the website and definitely give it a whirl. Cause Christmas is coming up, and all you need on some of these is like a measurement. And so the one thing I wanted to point out on your website is on the about page. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a bit about you, but there's this wonderful two paragraphs called Our Purpose. And I feel like you kind of buried the lead on this, because the very last sentence, I'm going to read this and see if you understand what I mean by that, is, the very two last sentences, the women make high quality garments that are full of personality and flattering yet dignified. And this is the one that just, I'm like, this needs to be in all caps and bold. In short, you empower the women by purchasing their work, and they empower you with the products. Oh my goodness. You empower them and they empower you. To me, this is the ultimate goal of how we work with people. Is mm-hmm. that kind of your mission statement?
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's what I want to do. Like, I want fashion to be more about like the outward appearance, even though like obviously it is about the outward appearance, but I also want it to like help women, and yeah, it should be like flattering to you and different body shapes. Like, fashion should be fun. Like, I don't dress like plain, you know, like my hair, like I love.
You can't see your hair right now, but it's the whole bottom half is fuchsia. It's gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
Or did I say that right? Is it fuchsia or pink?
Yeah, it's fuchsia.
So as we talk about empowerment, tell me really quick about the Stacey Starberg Initiative.
But there was a woman who came to the City of Hope some years ago, and she really enjoyed her time there, and like she came back to the U.S. She loved it. And anyway, like a couple years later, she ended up dying of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And like, we didn't know any of this, but come to find out, like she was married to the CEO of Condé Nast, which owns like all the big magazines.
Yeah.
They own Vogue.
I know.
So like her husband had heard like how much she loved the City of Hope, and like how the time there had like touched her. So he felt like inspired to do something to help the City of Hope. So we've like started up this leadership program like through them, and it's been like training. It's really been training like the secondary school girls has been like the main focus, giving them like leadership training. And they did a fundraising event in, I guess this was 2017. Yeah, they did this fundraising event in, like, it was in Manhattan. And like the part of the event was like designs that my students had sewn for like doing like this fashion show thing. And it was like, that was such an awesome opportunity for me, was to be able to do like a fashion show in like Manhattan with like all these people, and they told me, they're like, I don't know if you saw her, but Anna Wintour was there, and she like collection, and I was like, what?
And for, you know, for those of us who like shop at Ann Taylor or whatever, I mean, this is a big deal. And yeah. I mean, if anybody watches Project Runway, I mean, doing Fashion Week is huge, but having your own fashion show on in Manhattan, that's amazing.
And through that, I don't know if you saw the Glamour.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Tell us about it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So they did an article about my program in Glamour, like on Glamour's website. And that was like, that was such a huge deal for me. And that was like, that was the first year I'd gotten there, like at the end of the first year after I'd arrived at like the City of Hope and started up my program. So that was something else that like really,
a nice boost right at the beginning.
Yes.
Great. So as we kind of shut this down a little bit, is there anything else? Cause you know, I have all these notes about how amazing City of Hope is, and I'm definitely, we're going to put all the links in the show notes. We're going to make sure that people know how to find you. We're going to make sure that people know how to come shop from you. Because part of, and like even in my Facebook group, it's about women helping women all over the world. We do have women who are from all around the globe. And the goal for me is to connect women all over the globe. So if there are ways that we can put women in touch with City of Hope or with your program or with Tenzi Design, that sounds awesome. And if women listening, so a lot of the women that I'm in touch with are entrepreneurs. So if they have shops and they want to carry your design exclusively, they could do that.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So these are the kind of things we want to throw out there. We want to make sure that we have the opportunity to share. When we talk to people, so I've been in management for a long time and I work with people who want to do kind of career development. And every once in a while when I'm hiring someone or when I'm talking to them about what they want to do for a living, there's some red flags that pop up, right? It's like, no, you don't want to do that or no. And and a lot of times when we're looking at a big adventure or a big change in our lives, we think about, well, what are the red flags that I should look for? Well, I'm the intentional optimist, honey. I look for the green flags, right? You said it, you were turning in all these applications and either you were getting job offers that you didn't want or you were getting turned down. So what are some of the green flags? If somebody else was in sort of your shoes and, you know, they want to make a difference and they, maybe it's not fashion, maybe it's something else, but they want to use their creative energy, which is huge in intentional optimism. They want to use their creative energy and their skills to better other people, to empower women all over the world. What are some green flags that you could say in you, what would people want to be looking for? Like if they were looking to do the same thing?
I'd say like for me, I knew that it was something that I really wanted to do because it was something that I would like always daydream about. Ah. Like whenever so
daydreaming about it.
Yes. If you daydream about it, like I'll say when I like during college, like in the middle of a boring lecture or even like in church when my mind kind of like tuned off, like
so
I would always be like thinking of like designs. It's like what would always be popping in my head. So it's like still being productive.
Sorry, Jesus, I was working out this dress thing.
gave me the creativity.
He did. Yeah, that, I agree. Okay, so it's clearly you have a passion about it. So you're daydreaming about it. Or is there anything else? I mean, what gave you the courage maybe to pursue it?
I mean, the way I was raised, like my parents, especially my dad, they always told me like, dream big, you can do whatever you set your mind to, like, just don't be afraid, like, go for it. And like seeing like what my parents were able to create, that just gave me like the motivation. I love that quote. It's who am I to be like talented and famous and smart and pretty or something like that. And then it was like, but who are you not to be? Like you're a child of God. So like I love that quote and that like why not? I only have like one life, so I might as well like do as much as I can. And I've also heard it's like it's better to fail while you're young and you like still have time to correct it. So it's like, I'm just going to go for it while I'm young and like
fail early and often. That is the fastest road to success.
Exactly.
That is the entrepreneurial mantra. Fail early and often. These are the green flags. And these are the things that, you know, if they daydream about it, and then the piece of advice is just go for it. Right. I mean, it's just fail early and often. And if I had it to do over again, instead of going to college, I know this sounds awful, I might travel, you know, because when you get into like paying the bills and doing all that kind of stuff, you feel like you can't make changes, but you can. So tell me ways that women could be involved if they can't pick up and go to Tanzania. What are ways that they could be involved here? Maybe they could implement something like that here.
I'll say for City of Hope, like something easy for people to do is like sponsoring a child. That's something simple that like anyone can do with a little extra money every month. And yeah, for my program, I would say buying stuff.
Okay, shop, shop, shop.
Like, yeah, and also like helping promote, I don't know, just mentioning it to your girlfriends or whatever. If they compliment you on the cute top that you bought at my website. Just you telling know, them like.
Okay. We're learning how to be gracious and compliment receiving, right? It's like, oh, I love that top. Oh, thank you. It was this old thing. It was just $4 at Old Navy. And I'm not kidding. This top really was $4 at Old Navy. But but instead going to say, yes, this is a Tenzi design, right? Thank you so much. Let me tell you how to get it. And so you are available online and you will be available in different shops. All right. So before we go, the one thing I always ask every single guest is, what is the one thing you can always be optimistic about, even when other people may think you're crazy? And this is like wide open. Give us your fun side. Tell me what you're always optimistic about, Tenzi.
I'll say like the weather really has like a big effect on my mood. So like whenever like the sun is shining, then I always like, I just feel happy when the sun is shining. Or like, it's just like the little things in life. I feel like it's just appreciating the little things in life, like the sunshine or like having a special meal for dinner. Like if I know I'm having something special for dinner, I'll be like happy all day.
So. You're optimistic that the weather and the food can make you happy, girl.
Yes.
That's nice. It's the little things. Okay. Well, Tenzi, this was a lot of fun. And thank you for being flexible around our internet issues. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go ahead and close it out. So I think that we have a really good opportunity here to support your women, to support. Do they have, like, are they just called your students or are they called the Sew Ladies? What do you call them?
I just call them all my students, but I'm like, even though you're not really a student anymore because you're like working for money, but I still just call them students. Sometimes I call them my children. Ah. Even though like they're all mothers and like several years older than me, most of them are, but I still call them my children sometimes.
Well, that speaks to the relationship that you have, right?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So please give them our love. And I'm excited to see how we can kind of spread the word. And we got to come up with it. We got to come up with a name, right? You need a name for these ladies. Like, it's like, these are the Sew Troop or whatever, you know, I mean, it's like, you got to come up with something. That's my request as you go back. Okay. Tell them this crazy woman wanted to know, like, have your own little micro tribe, right? And see what, and then they can always say, I'm a so-and-so, right?
Yeah.
Oh, a so-and-so. Oh, that's totally English, right? You need something in Swahili that means something to, this is just me being bossy. I do the bossy pants thing every so often. But anyway, this has been delightful. I have so enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much. Okay, this whole conversation just makes me smile. Tenzi is so winsome, happy, and optimistic, even while describing the reality of the conditions under which her students live, like no electricity, school only for the few, and retrieving water from the stream. And as per usual, Tenzi didn't set out to be a leader, but she falls into a category I call mission-driven. She loves fashion, design, and beauty, but wants to use it for a bigger purpose. And not just to make people feel beautiful and empowered in the clothing, but to give the creation of the products a redemptive purpose. Her vision is big, too. I mean, she's looking down the road at what could be sew programs all over the globe, celebrating the unique beauty of individual cultures and empowering the women of those cultures to support themselves through the practical expression of fashion design and production. Tenzi doesn't allow her age to get in the way either. She's developed the discipline of creating deadlines and sticking to them, and she shared some sage advice for anyone else who might be a mission-driven leader like herself. If you can't get it off your mind, that dream or mission, like daydreaming when you're supposed to be paying attention to something else, you should at least give it a shot. What do you have to lose? And her fearless embracing of fail early and often in order to succeed is literally the credo of the entrepreneurial world. So, how does Tenzi embody the tenets of intentional optimism? Picking one feels silly, but I'll do it anyway. So first, she's optimistic. Tenzi is so hopeful, positive, and proactive. I mean, she set up a program to help other women provide for their futures. She's present, celebrating the beauty of the textiles, the women, and the culture of the Korea people, dedicating her time and expertise to help them achieve something new, allowing them to make their own futures better. She's very energetic. Industry is at the heart of her mission, literally empowering others to develop the ability to do for themselves. She shares her skills with joy and enthusiasm and lifts up others by leveraging her own power as an American woman. Tenzi is wise beyond her years. She understands how things are, but on more than a physical level. She sees a higher truth in her faith in God and allows that to shine through as she teaches the ladies that she now calls her children. Tenzi's also very intentional. I mean, for sure. She discovered a dream at 17 and worked a plan to get her to a place where she could realize that dream. Every single step had a purpose. But most of all, she is so courageous. Her visionary leadership has taken an idea, made it a reality for at least 23 women and their families. And this, my friends, is only the beginning. Now, Tenzi's passion to empower the Korea women to support themselves and their families is a reflection of her core values that celebrate beauty of fashion as more than an outward expression, the resilience of the human spirit, and the grace of the gospel of Jesus. This makes her a role model, training new women to be the teachers and role models themselves, and her dedication to developing her own skills, taking on new roles, is evident in the growth of the SEW program. Remember, unconventional leaders lead at every level, in any area, using their unique gifts, and Tenzi represents that so well. Let me ask you this. Are you a mission-driven leader? Do you have a dream that is literally distracting you from everything else? If so, what's that next step that you need to take to start failing early and often on your own road to success? Now, maybe you don't have your own mission, but you're wholeheartedly ready to support this one. Well, here are three ways that you can support the SEW program. First, go shopping. TenziDesign.com has so many beautiful pieces. Now, if you're local to Virginia, there's several places that actually carry their products, and those are all listed on her website. Remember, these items are already in the U.S. The artisans have been paid, so you're both supporting their mission of growing, expanding, and empowering more women, and you're able to receive your items in time to fill your holiday gift lists. A second way you can help is that you can donate. Maybe you're more of a philanthropist. City of Hope and the SEW program are built and sustained by donations. Sponsoring a child gives you and your family a tangible and real way to exercise generosity, uplifting and empowering that next generation. And third, you could share your own skills. After our conversation, Tenzi shared that she's looking for someone who can teach the specific skill of hand embroidery to the women in the SEW program. Is this a skill you have? Perhaps you're a good candidate for an internship. I know Tenzi would love to hear from you. All her contact information will be in the show notes. Whether you are a mission-driven leader or want to step into a greater vision of another organization, the principles of intentional optimism and unconventional leadership are yours to develop and own. Don't let age, young or old, hold you back. There's a space for you, I guarantee it. And I haven't said it in a while, but remember, you are the answer. You are the role model for the future generations. The best places to find Tenzi are on her website, tenzidesign.com, and Instagram, and we've listed each of them in the show notes. If you're ready to begin your own personal growth journey, but not quite certain where to start, let's get you a DISC assessment. We'll help you tap into your greatest motivations, dramatically improve your relationships, and accelerate your results. Head on over to theintentionaloptimist.com/DISC, or just click the link in the show notes. That'll get you started. And don't forget, as a special gift to my podcast listeners, you get a 10% off discount when you enter the code PODCAST at checkout. Of course, I still have the special Ultimate DISC Communication Cheat Sheet as my free gift for you at theintentionaloptimist.com/cheat. This packet will provide you with insight into how to leverage your best strengths and how to maximize your connection with others. I've even included tips on how to recognize the DISC types in your kids and how to connect with them based on those types. Are you driven to lead? Know where you want to go, but can't quite figure out the steps? I can bring clarity, help see the big picture, and help you stay grounded, all while you step into exactly who you're meant to be. Head on over to my website and check out my own story and contact me to set up a time to talk about how one-on-one coaching could be the answer for you. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. That way, you'll catch every new episode as it releases, and you won't miss any other amazing unconventional leaders just like Tenzi Chacha. Until next time. Hey, thanks for listening today. If you're an intentional optimist and you love this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review with a 5-star rating. You can also snap a screenshot right where you're listening, share it to social media, and tag me. This helps others find us, and we'll have an even bigger impact. If you're curious what it would be like to work more closely with me, or just to step up as an unconventional leader yourself, I invite you to schedule a free discovery session to talk with me and learn more. Just email me at andrea@theintentionaloptimist.com. If you're looking for an encouraging and uplifting community on Facebook, hop on over and join the Intentional Optimist group, women encouraging women from all over the globe. The community and email links are right here in the show description wherever you listen to the podcast. Until next time, remember, you're the answer. You are the future of leadership and the role models for future generations.